Good morning, listeners. Last week, I began the series, Living as a Christian in an Unchristian World. I spoke then on the topic, Living by Faith in an Awesome God, based on Jeremiah chapter 32, with verse 17 being the key verse. I will again be speaking on Jeremiah 32 today, using as a topic, God's answer to prayer proves his awesomeness. In Jeremiah 21, God had warned the people of Judah and their king Zedekiah of the judgment that will result in the destruction of Jerusalem and captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah had uncompromisingly proclaimed the prophetic word of God. Now, based on the record in Jeremiah 32, the prophetic word of God was being fulfilled. The people of Judah were about to be punished for their sins, for their unfaithfulness to God, for their idolatry. They had a glorious future, however, because God would not give up on them. As the impending doom approached, we saw last week that God instructed Jeremiah to purchase a piece of property and carry out an action which signified that the people of God would return after captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah seemingly questioned his action of faith in this tragic time and turned to God in prayer in order to gain understanding of what was happening. Verse 16 to 25. God's answer to his prayer, verse 26 to 44, opens with a reference to Jeremiah's own prayer. Verse 26 to 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" God affirmed who he is. "I am the Lord, the eternally self-existent one, uncreated, the first cause of everything, the God of all flesh, creator and sustainer of all things, the one for whom nothing is impossible." The Apostle Paul exclaimed in exultation, in inspired language, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Romans 11, 33 to 36. My first point, God's answer to Jeremiah's prayer proved his awesomeness. God has an unfailing and unalterable plan for his people. Jeremiah had earlier prophesied about the captivity in Babylon, and that was now about to take place. He had prophesied that it would be followed by the exile of people in Babylon. He had also prophesied about their return to the land of Judah. You see, the word of God is prophetic. God knows the end from the beginning. God, through prophecies, warned his people. So they should not have been surprised at what was happening, because whatever God says, God fulfills. The word of God, Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God speaks. God fulfills that which is spoken because he is God and he keeps his promises. God, not the Babylonians, is the supreme Lord of history. Verse 17, he's acting in power, not in weakness, in rewarding the city of Jerusalem with fire. Verse 29, sword, famine, and plagues. These calamities are typical of divine judgment. God's judgment will fall when people ignore his will, refuse to obey him, and persist in sin. Persistent refusal throughout life from youth. The people of Judah had practiced that. They had not heeded God's call to repentance. Verse 33. They had practiced idol worship. Now judgment was falling upon them. Verse 30 to 32 and verse 37. What is God's perspective on our present experience with the novel coronavirus and the COVID-19 pandemic? Multiple theories exist about the cause of this worldwide problem. It's a once in a 100-year occurrence. Whatever your views, it must be realized that God and not the coronavirus will determine the course of history. God is sovereign and he remains in charge. God is at work, plucking up and pulling down, as he had said to Jeremiah when he called him. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah 1 and verse 10. This must be our perspective if we believe in divine sovereignty. God is ruling. He is in charge. And whatever may be the outcome of the present situation, he remains sovereign. We will pick up on this next week.